Armed American Radio listeners, today's Armed American Radio's recorded version of the national radio broadcast, the Armed American Radio podcast, is being brought to you today and every day by North American Arms. Make sure to visit NorthAmericanArms.com for the finest mini revolvers on planet Earth. NorthAmericanArms.com. Enjoy the show.
Armed American Radio's Daily Defense.
Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. Because they don't want me to, that's why I do it.
Presented by X Insurance.
X Insurance.
From the Sig Sauer Studios. On the Patriot Mobile Platinum Microphone. Here is your host, the loudest conservative voice in America fighting the enemies of freedom, Mark Walters.
Here we go. Hour two, Armed American Radio's Daily Defense is underway. Hour one in the books for us. Sig Sauer Studios lit up for you here at the ranch. Patriot Mobile Command and Control Communication Center microphone on fire. X Insurance is presenting every moment of it. X Insurance is the real deal, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure to check them out at armedamericanradio.com. We are going to continue to pound that name X Insurance into you. There are companies out there that masquerade as insurance. They are not insurance. X Insurance is real insurance. Make sure you have coverage for all aspects of your life, not just your firearms, your safety, your freedom, but your toys, everything. X Insurance will partner up with you and cover you, your lifestyle, your toys, everything, including all of your firearms. Throw that in the category with toys and your freedom. They will write you a policy to defend your freedom, a true umbrella policy that covers you. And they do not back down. They go the distance with you if you need them. And hopefully you don't. But if you do, you want to know that they're there. Greg in Dallas, Texas, how you doing, my brother?
Here we are,
round two. Where can people watch us in high def and see your mug up there on the split screen this hour?
Sure, if you want to watch the show, just head on over to armedamericanradio.org or .com. On the right-hand side of that website, you're going to see the menu icon. Just give it a slap, and when that window opens up, you can select that watch live option. You can also join the live chat that is there. If you're out there driving, please don't join the chat or the watch live. Head on over to that listen live link. And if you missed the previous episode, head over to the podcast link. If you want to join our Telegram chat, all you have to do is head on over to your app store, grab the Telegram messaging app, create your profile, and search for Armed American Radio Conversations.
Wham, bow, pam, that'll get you in there. So let's head over. I love doing this. Let's go. Let's Google gun control live on the air together. And let's see today's narrative. What is today's narrative? Okay. New York Times. Kamala Harris visits Parkland and urges states to adopt red flag laws. Fox News, Vice President Harris pushes gun control at site of Parkland school shooting as victim. Let me open that because I think that's going to be about Ryan Petty. VP Harris pushes gun control at site of Parkland school shooting as victim's dad calls it, quote, a slap in the face. And if I scroll down, sure enough, there is Ryan Petty, who we've just had on the program for 2 hours on Sunday talking about this, well ahead of Fox News on this. But nonetheless, it's up there. So let's back up on that and go. Yeah, I love when Ryan's on the show. We get the dope before anybody else. The Guardian, what are red flag laws and how do they work? American Military News, 21 hours ago. I don't think we've ever quoted from American Military News. Greg, have you ever heard of them?
I've heard of them. I don't believe us ever bringing them up.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever heard. I don't think they've popped up. Biden DOJ launches new gun control office. Fox News, 2 days ago, video, Vice President Harris pushes for no-brainer gun control measure. NRA, ILA, I don't really consider that news, but their story is Virginia AG clarifies concealed handgun permit renewals. They did fix a problem there in Virginia. I did speak with VCDL earlier this afternoon about that, so there is some good news there. Maybe we can get at that or hold off for the latter part of the week. 21 hours ago, National Shooting Sports Foundation, gun control, governors and mayors have a reality problem. The Hill, Harris to announce gun control measure. The Cut, how Chris Brown of gun safety group Brady gets it done. Detroit News, letters, readers on potential TikTok ban and gun control. Let's go there, Greg. We like letters to the editor, right?
Sure.
And Detroit News. Will Democrats support TikTok ban? Don't care about any of that. Don't have that crap.
There's an interesting one from Oil City News down in the list. I don't know how far down it is on yours, though.
But you Googled it with me, right?
Correct.
All right, we'll go down there. We'll go to that right after this. Here's the Detroit News. A one-size-fits-all policy won't stop gun violence. Interesting headline on the opinion piece. Let's read it. I used to be strongly pro-gun control as an answer to mass shootings. It felt like common sense legislation until I dug into the practical details. Here's somebody that's thinking. I don't even have to go any further. Mass killings dominate the headlines, but they are only 1% of the gun deaths in America. In 2022, 54% of gun deaths in the U.S. were suicides, mostly older white men. Digging deeper into the other 46% of gun deaths, you'll find that in 2019, homicide rates were highest for males ages 15 to 24, often dying at the hands of other young men. And 20% of homicides in 2020 were killings of women, mostly at the hands of a current or former domestic partner. Each of these populations needs different forms of help. The proposed solutions by politicians often focus on three tactics: banning assault weapons, increasing the prevalence of background checks, and decreasing magazine sizes. But assault weapons bans won't solve handgun violence, which accounts for most murders. Most mass shooters pass the background checks, and shrinking magazines won't stop suicides and many homicides. Gun violence cannot be remedied by a one-size-fits-all gun control policy. We need to treat the rising mental health crisis. We need de-escalation. Those at risk of suicide need companionship and commitment. Young men whose lives are shaped by cycles of vengeance need paths out of gang violence. And male mentors who have chosen to forego vengeance. Vulnerable women need legal protection from their abusers. We need families, churches, and good community organizations that advocate for these groups. To be clear, I still don't like guns, but I won't support policies that are shallow attempts to score political points. And that's from Leah Sargent in New York City. And interestingly, that's from the Detroit News, and she's in New York City. I don't know how that works. Greg, let's talk a little bit about that letter, because there's a lot of common sense in that letter right off the top as I sit and look at this and do it live without really going through it and breaking it down prior to the show. What were your thoughts on what you just heard?
First of all, it's nice to hear somebody using their brain. And
Agreed. Yeah. That's the first thing that popped in my head. This is a thinking person.
And unfortunately, I cannot read this because it's behind a paywall. So you are the one that can only see everything there. And I'd like to review some of the things. But, we'll see how far it goes. I'm not too sure what they're influencing on TikTok in regards to this. We'll see how far that ban goes, if it even happens at all. I think it's interesting that there are some states that are passing legislation to prevent minors from being on social media. I saw that happened in Florida. And we'll see. We know we can't have any kind of gun promotion on a lot of social media. They don't allow it. And, it's where you have to get a lot of information and ideas conveyed currently. Unfortunately, too many people don't go to websites looking for opinion letters or going to them for information. Oftentimes it's presented on TikTok. I will say one thing about TikTok is that there's a lot of interesting information that I think government doesn't want you to know about because simply it exposes what they're up to.
Well, therein lies KJB's commentary at the Supreme Court oral arguments last week.
Yep.
On Monday, that is tied together. You just nailed that spot on. And in her mind, the government should be able to stop you from talking about the issues they don't want you talking about because she deems it or they deem it to be misinformation. Because they don't like the topic. Because we're extremists.
Yep.
Not them. You can arrest a person holding a sign in front of an abortion clinic that says, "Come talk to me before you have an abortion." But God forbid you arrest somebody burning down buildings in the name of BLM or lies like hands up, don't shoot. Or God forbid an illegal alien, criminal, lawbreaker, federal lawbreaker, led into the country by the president of the United States willfully, knowingly, and then let him go after committing two or three crimes to move to a rural area of our state and murder one of my neighbors.
And then you have some idiot judge say that the Second Amendment applies to illegal immigrants as well.
Yeah, let's go there for a second. I was on American Adversaries Radio last night at 6:30. I love the Adversaries. You know Christopher Hart.
He's
guest hosted the show before.
Well, I know them because they are a broadcaster here.
They are Salem out of Orlando, Florida. And we talked a little bit about that. And Chris asked my opinion on that ruling. And I had not spoken to him prior to, other than, do you want to come on the show with us today? I said, sure, of course. And he said, let me get your opinion on that. And then I want to see if it jives and meshes with mine. And I said, yeah, this was a judge who was intentionally sticking her nose into Bruin to make a political point that if you want to claim Bruin gives you the right to do this, then I'm going to extend it and use that decision in Bruin to say illegals can have guns, too. And it was done specifically to do damage to the Bruin decision. We're getting ready to take a break. When we come back, we'll get some commentary for Greg on that. But I will say this as we close out this segment. Christopher Hart was in agreement with me and believes that was the sole purpose for that judge's ruling in that illegal alien case as well. And then Justin Moon, and I did mention Justin's comments in the roundtable on that as well, because he pointed to the fact, and this is where there's a disconnect, that guns are a human right, that all humans have a right to protect themselves. So you can swing that pendulum all the way to the other side. Makes for great discussion. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away.
Daniel Defense firearms are guaranteed for life, trusted worldwide, and designed, engineered, and manufactured right here in America. Daniel Defense, freedom, passion, precision.
Freedom, passion, and precision. That is Daniel Defense. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, inside the Armed American Radio Sig Sauer Studios. Patriot Mobile microphone lit up for you. X Insurance presenting it all, every single bit of it, every single day. Please go out of your way to visit all of our partners at armedamericanradio.com. Those of you who like to watch the video, I am not sure if the second hour of the video is running. We're looking into that right now. And if we can make some changes there for you, we will certainly do that. Otherwise, you got old school listen live radio, because that's what it is. It's a radio show, Greg.
That's correct.
That's it. That's what it is. And I did get a response back. Yeah, they looks like the provider is only pushing the first hour. But that's okay. We'll take care of that. In the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, Greg, I was very busy during the break. Where were we going? Refresh my brain.
We were talking about the article from the Detroit's.
Detroit.
Yep. What was it? Detroit News. And it was, we were talking about social media and gun bans. And I had made a correlation between government wanting to shut down social media because of things that we get to talk about that makes them look bad and them not liking it. And then I think we were moving on to another story you were wanting to get into. But one I'm interested in is out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Gordon signs bills prohibiting red flag gun laws.
Let's go to that. And I'm a little distracted here right now because I'm actually talking to the provider. And
video got you off.
Do that. Yeah, I do this right now, because I made so many changes in the studio today, and it's got me, my hands are going in different places where they're not used to going. But I've been told that within a week, by next week, the second channel will be running the second hour of the video for us when we're up and running. So there you have it. That's going to occur. So no video for the second hour right now, but you guys can listen, and many of you are. So let's do that. So we'll cut that video stream there. All right. So, Greg, tell us what's going on in Wyoming.
Well, it looks like,
because you pulled that, you Googled that out. Let me pull that up. But go ahead.
Yeah, sure. It looks like Governor Mark Gordon over in Wyoming has signed four bills. I'll just read the slug line. Governor Mark Gordon signs four bills Friday that strengthen Wyoming residents' Second Amendment rights. The four bills are SF-0073. It's a concealed firearms permit eligibility law. SF-0105, Wyoming Second Amendment Financial Privacy Act. SF-0109, Prohibit Red Flag Gun Seizure Act, and SF-0086, School Safety and Security Funding. And essentially, they break down all of these laws following in the article. It looks like 0105 protects your privacy and sensitive financial information of people purchasing firearms, firearm parts, or ammunition in Wyoming by prohibiting credit card processors from using firearms or firearm-related merchant category codes. It also prohibits government or private entities from keeping any registry of privately owned firearms or the owners of those firearms created or maintained through the use of firearms code.
Yeah, and interestingly, the governor vetoed HB 0125. Get this, ladies and gentlemen. This is out of Wyoming. The act was repeal gun-free zones and preemption amendments. Are you kidding me? In no. Wyoming? Okay, this is just pure evidence of where the Democrats want to go. You're talking about Democrats in the great state of Wyoming. This is where Paul Markle, student of the gun, is. All right? That's where Student of the Gun University is based. And the Democrats want to repeal gun-free zones and preemption amendments. So let's analyze that for just a second. I got to look at this carefully because it's tricky how this is worded, Greg. Let me go to the bill. Let me see if we can pull the bill. An act relating to concealed weapons, repealing gun-free zones, providing for the carrying of concealed weapons as specified, creating a criminal offense for prohibiting entry to a person carrying a concealed weapon as specified, clarifying that only the state legislators may regulate firearms, weapons, and ammunition, providing for exceptions, amending a definition. So this sounds pro-gun, looking at this on the surface. I've not read into this before. But why would the governor veto that? Due to concerns that HB 0125 exceeds the separation of powers embodied in Article 2 of Wyoming's Constitution. If the bill were enacted, any specific policy, further regulation, or clarification of a law could only be implemented by the legislature. And it said that 125 erodes historical local control norms by giving sole authority to the legislature to micromanage a constitutionally protected right. Okay, let me look at the Wyoming's Constitution here. Guys, we're doing this right off the cuff. This is why when we do this live, when we Google this stuff, we're not lying to you. We didn't do the research prior to, so we're pulling it up right here with you on the air. And I want to see Declaration of Rights, which is page 5 on here. Power inherent to the people in their inherent right to life, liberty, and so all members of the human race are equal. Equality, security against search and seizure, imprisonment for debt, due process of law, no absolute arbitrary power, trial by jury, right to defend, self-incrimination, detaining witnesses, indictment, bail, cruel and unusual punishment, penal code, conduct of jails, habeas corpus, religious liberty, freedom of speech, right of petition and assembly, protection of labor, education, right to bear arms. The right of citizens to bear arms in defense of themselves and of the state shall not be denied. So it looks to me, Greg, to be like a procedural move.
Sure.
In Wyoming on this.
Sure.
That he felt that likely, and I don't want to put, again, I don't want to put words in the governor's mouth, but it looks like to be purely procedural that they wanted to repeal gun-free zones, but it was done in such a way that he couldn't support because of the state constitution and the way it was written. But I'm not clear on why. I mean, it was legislated. So I'm not real sure. Maybe we talk to Paul Markle about that one. That's pretty interesting. Not so sure about that. And then breaking down a couple of the other ones, as you mentioned, the one that's most important, I believe, is the Second Amendment Financial Privacy Act.
Well, that and the Seizure Act as well.
Prohibiting red flag seizure, number one, and number two. That would be number one I would put as most important. And I don't know. It's kind of tough because, the federal government, the Biden administration, wants your credit card companies up your patootie if you're a gun owner. They want to know everything about you, your expenditures, et cetera. Why? So maybe the ATF can pay you a visit. Kind of like they did in Arkansas, pre-dawn raid. Because they kill you, and guess what happens? It's only their word that gets out. So that's important that Privacy Act, Financial Act was signed, and prohibiting the red flag gun seizure law. Those go hand in hand, both of those. Why? Because somebody could red flag you if they were watching your whatever. Who knows who could make the complaint? Yeah, it always concerns me when you see states like Wyoming and states like Arizona that are very gun-friendly states that still have to fight every single day against nonsense from Democrats. And I misread that, the repeal gun-free zones and preemption, HB 0125, which wasn't listed in the four. but it doesn't appear to be a Democrat bill. It appears to be a Republican bill or pro-gun that the governor just had some procedural issues with, apparently. When we come back from the break, we're going to continue Googling gun control and find out what other narratives are out there. And we'll talk about that New York PD cop as well. Don't go away.
The following segment of Armed American Radio is being brought to you by Defender Coffee. When you drink Defender Coffee, you're making a donation to a gun rights organization of your choice that protects and defends your freedoms. Welcome back to the show.
Yes, welcome back to the show indeed here at the Ranch. Sig Sauer Studios lit up for you today. Hour two of Armed American Radio well underway, now heading into the third segment. All of it brought to you by X Insurance here on this Patriot Mobile Communication Center microphone. Welcome back. All right, so I've got some news for those of you that like to watch the video. This is actually going on in real time. Looks like the video will be back up tomorrow. The flip will be switched for the second hour. You've noticed some changes on our website. That's because we have new production stuff going on for those of you that like to watch the show. And that second hour will be back up tomorrow when that switch is flipped, Greg. So back to Wyoming for just a second. We found a couple interesting deals. I should give you the credit because you found it. Go ahead and tell listeners what you found, what we were discussing during the break as we were working through this Wyoming stuff here.
Yeah, let me find the spot. Okay, here we go. So SF0073 is essentially titled, let me grab that real quick, Concealed Firearms Permit Eligibility. And what this does is this amends the concealed carry permit regulations to make those who have had their firearm rights restored eligible for a permit, which is typically anybody that has been pardoned from a felony or has somehow had their rights infringed and then they are later restored and then makes them eligible. So it basically just clears their slate is what I'm assuming with the state so that they recognize that this person may have it essentially expunges any kind of issue that would have prohibited them from possessing a firearm or getting a permit.
Yeah, and if you go into the bill, ladies and gentlemen, that's why it provides a little bit of a problem when we go into this stuff live like that, because we're actually going into the weeds here, not just covering the actual headline itself. And I do want to make some clarification on the bill detail that we talked about, HB 0125, as well in just a second. But when you go, as we were reading these bills in their entirety during the break, and the original section on this permit one, for those of you in Wyoming, the Attorney General is off. This goes back to 1994. The Attorney General is authorized to issue permits to carry a concealed firearm to persons qualified as provided by this subsection. The AG shall promulgate rules necessary to carry this out. Section should be effective no later, carry it out no later than October 1, 1994. And it lists the applicants and the requirements. Then you go back down farther into the bill, Section B. The division shall issue a permit to any person who has not been, and then be, convicted of a felony violation of the Wyoming Controlled Substances Act of 1971 or similar laws or any other state or the United States relating to controlled substances and has not been pardoned. That's where it stopped. The new bill adds in, which the governor signed, the following: or had his firearm rights restored pursuant to Wyoming Statute 713-105A or F. So that's the addition. Now, Greg, when we go into the other bill detail on HB 0125, which is the repealing gun-free zones, providing for the carrying of concealed weapons.
Correct.
The bill is several pages long.
Yeah, it's a long one.
And you go in and you see in there where they have added lines.
Yeah, the red line.
The red lines are here are the additions to the bill that for whatever reason the governor didn't like, and I'm not sure why. We'll talk about it later. We'll find out some more details.
It'd be nice if we could get the governor on.
It would be kind of nice. Maybe we can do that. No person authorized to carry a concealed weapon pursuant to paragraphs A, 2 through 4 of this section shall carry a concealed firearm into any elementary or secondary school facility. And it continued with, except as provided in Wyoming Statute 21-3-132.
And they scratched that out.
They scratched that out and added, if the person is enrolled as a student at any elementary or secondary school, which tells me that anybody outside of a student could carry in that school And I don't know if that required a permit or not. This is the nuance into these things, because the devil, guys, is in the details.
I think that
stuff
does require a permit. And I think what they're alluding to is essentially principals, teachers, you know, security,
right,
stuff like that.
It's interesting stuff. So we'll try to get some clarification on that. That is one of the dangers of
maybe
of
the
doing
professor Paul can help us out with that.
He may very well be able to do that. We just had him on yesterday. I wish we had done this yesterday.
Yeah, we're a day late, a dollar short. Well, yeah.
Now, Greg also asked the question during the break of me, is Wyoming a constitutional carry state? Of which I replied, yes, it is. It is one of the 29 constitutional carry states. And interestingly, North Dakota is permitless carry for residents only. Permitless carry for residents only.
So if you're
You are, I guess, going to be required to have a permit.
How does that work?
I don't know. Well, that would be, you know, that's where your reciprocity comes in. Okay. And that's where I'm going to suggest, ladies and gentlemen, if your state still offers a permit, which my state does, and my permit is good, I think it's a 7-year deal now, if I'm not mistaken, and I've got like 5 years left, but I will re-up my permit always. Because it is my background check, it is my NICS background check, et cetera. We don't have a wait period here in the state of Georgia. Some states do. And that wait period is waived with a permit. Florida comes to mind. And Florida added, because of the parkland bill, I believe an extra 2 days, from 3 days to 5 on that. We'll have to check with Lee on that. But nonetheless, if you have a permit in your state, I would recommend you get it, because of a situation like North Dakota, for example, or other states that you that do not have constitutional carry that you may find yourself traveling to. For example, Pennsylvania, gun-friendly state, but no constitutional carry. Permit is required. Here in the state of Georgia, my permit is reciprocal. Without a permit, and I do find myself in Pennsylvania from time to time. I will be there again in October, Greg. I'm there every year,
yep,
at least once.
Yep.
So my permit is necessary. So that matters. This is the nuance. This is the devil in the detail. This is going into the weeds. Now, if you live at home and you don't ever go nowhere, I say that with an AOC head bob. I can't even get my neck to do that, but I tried. I'm glad I'm not on camera this hour, because I looked pretty stupid like she did. But nonetheless, this is where the devil is in the details. You've got to pay very, very careful attention to this stuff. But if, like I said, if you live in a state and you never leave and it's a constitutional carry state, good on you. But you're going to find yourself somewhere for a wedding or a funeral, dude, guys and dames. And you're probably going to wish that you had that permit. You look at states like near me, Greg, North Carolina. Look at states next to you, New Mexico.
Mm hmm.
Okay, permits are required.
Here's the thing about New Mexico, though, is for me, it is approximately 8 hours away, so I think I'll pass.
Yeah, that's true, but you could maybe, I say to you one time, hey, meet me out in Phoenix for a rally, and you decide to drive, not fly, there's New Mexico, right?
Yeah.
Arizona's constitutional. Then the reason I say that is you might not find yourself in that situation, but if you did, I'd rather have the permit than not. And that's just my recommendation. And I don't think we've ever talked to anybody within the firearms rights community that has ever suggested otherwise. Don't get a permit.
I mean,
the permit's available to you and you travel, you should probably have the permit. Then there's the other side. I can hear my listeners right now, Greg. Right now. I'm going to carry my gun anyway.
That's me.
I'm going to carry it anyway.
Permit's unconstitutional.
You can look at it that way. You can also find yourself in a world of trouble if you're in a state like California where they're actively seeking you.
Well, you just don't go to California.
Yeah, that's my deal. Except this year, the Gun Rights Policy Conference is in San Diego, California.
Pass.
Whew. And I hate it. But San Diego is such a beautiful city. It really is. I hate what's happened to California. I really, truly do hate what's happened to California. But that's the fun stuff to talk about here, guys. You do this stuff live on the fly, and that's what you get. Let's back up here and go back to gun control.
It's definitely some interesting moves out of Gordon from Wyoming, though. Just some interesting legislation. And it seems like they're just trying to, tie up some loose ends for things that have had that have had their rights restored, for people that, for school safety, for, several other instances that are obviously legitimate reasons to have some legislation to, you know, give a little bit of guide rails as to what is legal and what is not in the state.
Yeah, you took us right to the break. Greg knew that because he's running those boards. Did you hear me say 15, Greg, and give you a count? Isn't that fun?
I never trust your time.
Armed American Radio's Daily Defense continues. The final segment of Hour 2 coming up in 4 minutes on the flip side of this break. Visit all of our partners at armedamericanradio.com. We'll be right back. Segment of Armed American Radio is being brought to you by Patriot Mobile. Visit patriotmobile.com/AAR and use the AAR promo code to get free activation today. Welcome back. Yeah, welcome back indeed. Patriotmobile.com/AAR. Patriotmobile.com/AAR. Promo code, of course, is AAR. Free activation. The phone I'm holding over on my left side over here is in the process of being ported over there right now. Welcome back. Check out all of our partners. And remember, we're in the 6 Hour Studios. Patriot Mobile Microphone, X Insurance presenting it all. You can find all of our great partners at armedamericanradio.com. Don't forget to get those tickets for that raffle going on over there at thedoubledfoundation.org. They're $25 a piece, $100 for five, and you may very well win. Armed American Radio listeners have won two of the last four at Daniel Defense over there, sponsored by the Double D Foundation, this incredible $5,000 Daniel Defense custom rifle package. It's a custom M4A1. I think there were only about 15 of these things made, and this is something you want to definitely get in on if you can. Please do at least pick up one ticket, and you're supporting the youth shooting sports in the process. Get it, and good luck. I've got my five. Join me over there, would you? So in the Telegram chat, Armed American Radio's Telegram chat, I want to thank Barbara Whittington, who posted up a, looks like almost an essay, Greg, on Twitter.
Yep.
X, formerly known as Twitter, from Laura Logan. Now, I love Laura Logan for lots of different reasons. And if you look at her Twitter bio, that will give you most of it. And that's the nobody owns me. OK, former CBS that bailed and has just basically been a whistleblower ever since. I love her to death and she looks great doing it. There's that. Am I allowed to say that I find a woman attractive? Am I allowed to say that in 2024 or did I just commit a crime?
I think you committed a crime.
Well, too bad. So perp walk me.
Yeah, here we go.
She can perp walk me. Am I allowed to say that?
No.
I just keep committing more crimes, don't I?
How dare you?
I bet I could say that if she were trans. I just committed another crime.
Yeah.
Oh, good heavens. Cancel culture in full swing.
How dare you?
Ooh, shaking in my boots.
Come on, man.
There's a mafubala on top of it. Yeah, multiple intel sources. Baltimore Bridge collapse was an absolutely brilliant strategic attack on U.S. critical infrastructure, most likely cyber. Interesting, because then that's what Clayton was talking about, being a possible cyber attack in the first hour. Now, when you hear this, ladies and gentlemen, go back and watch the video footage of what happened. Okay? I have a very, very good friend who owns the Desperado Sportfish. Well, he owns the Desperado Sportfish and other cool things because he also owns a huge dredging company and marine construction and contracting company that's been dredging the naval base in Norfolk for decades, knows a little bit about this stuff. So this is fascinating. It was an absolutely brilliant strategic attack on U.S. critical infrastructure, most likely cyber, and our intel agencies know it. In information warfare terms, they just divided the U.S. along the Mason-Dixon line exactly like the Civil War. Second busiest strategic roadway in the nation for hazardous material, now down for 4 to 5 years, which is how long they say it will take to recover. Bridge was built specifically to move hazardous material, fuel, diesel, propane, gas, nitrogen, highly flammable materials, chemicals, and oversized cargo that cannot fit in the tunnels. That supply chain now crippled. Make no mistake. This was an extraordinary attack in terms of planning, timing, and execution. The two critical components on that bridge are the two load-bearing pylons on each end closest to the shore. They are bigger, thicker, and deeper than anything else. These are the anchor points, and they knew that hitting either one of them would be a fatal wound to the integrity of the bridge. Half a mile of bridge went into the river. Likely you will have to rebuild a new one. Also caused so much damage to the structural integrity of the bottom concrete part that you now cannot see and won't know until they take the wreckage apart. Structural destruction likely absolute. Attack perfectly targeted. They have figured out how to bring us down. As long as you stay away from the teeth of the U.S. military, you can pick the U.S. apart. We are arrogant and ignorant, lethal combination. Obama said they would fundamentally change America, and they did. We are on a free fall ride on a roller coaster right now. No brakes, just picking up speed. The footage, this is interesting, Greg. The footage shows the cargo ship never got in the approach lane in the channel. You have to be in the channel before you get into that turn. Location was precise, deliberate, chose a bend in the river where you have to slow down and commit yourself. Once you are committed in that area, there is not enough room to maneuver. Should have had a harbor pilot to pilot the boat. You are not supposed to traverse any obstacles without the harbor pilot. Now, I don't know if they did that or not, but that would be incredibly unusual if they did not.
It didn't look like they did. And I actually saw a guy that's former Coast Guard that was talking about this earlier on social media, and it was on TikTok. And he was talking about how not having a tugboat as a pilot in order to guide the boat through and in order to hook up. I think tugboats hook up to them, and then they kind of tow them through the obstacles.
Right. They move them around.
Yeah, I don't have that much sea experience, so I'm not 100% sure. But he thought that there were...
Your experience is underwater, so...
Yeah, exactly. We ride boats out to the underwater obstacles. Anyways, so he said that there were a lot of signs here that were saying that something was not right, or that they were, the procedures that they were using were not right. So that could speak a lot.
Yeah, this continues. It gets really in-depth. They chose a full moon so they would have maximum tidal shift, rise and fall, brisk flow in that river on a normal day, and have had a lot of rain recently, so water was already moving along at a good pace. Hit it with enough kinetic energy to knock out load-bearing pylon out from under the highway, which fatally weakens the span, and then 50% of the bridge fell into the water. All these factors, when you look at it, this is how you teach people how to do this type of attack, and there are so few people left in the system who know this. We have a junior varsity team on the field. Tremendous navigational obstruction, huge logistical nightmare to clean this up. Number of dead is tragic, but not the whole measure of the attack. The kind of bridge constantly under repair, always at night because there's so much traffic, and they cannot obstruct that during the day. So concern is for repair guys who are on foot out there, etc. When you choke off Baltimore, you have cut the main north-south hazardous corridor, I-95, so true, in half. Now has to go around the city or go somewhere else to move some of that cargo through the tunnel. You may be able to get permit, but boom, boom, boom. So there you go. That's...
You know, it's
put out by Laura Logan. Fascinating stuff. And here's the problem. As we talked about, Greg, I'll let you get to that in just a second. But as we talked about with Clayton Llewellyn, we will never, ever, ever get the truth. And I want to point this out again. We mentioned it in the first hour. The FBI came out almost immediately this morning. As far as I know, before it was light out here in Eastern time zone, saying they did not believe it was a terrorist attack. You tell me how they knew that within minutes. Greg,
You know, I'm kind of suspect. There's a lot of things that are happening here that are definitely suspicious. I'm interested in what the cause of the power loss on the ship was about. There were like three instances. If you watch the video footage, where
you can clearly see it,
it goes completely dark, regains light, goes dark, regains light, and so on and so forth. And obviously, at a certain point, the rudder had no power to it, so that you could control it away from the pier that bridge is sitting on, which tells me that you know, the power outage had a lot to do with this ship going towards the pier, but the lack of a pilot boat also has a play in this. So that's an interesting dynamic that I'm just going to reserve judgment on. Also, in regards to the hazardous material, I see them probably going to set up a staging area to store a lot of this hazardous cargo that would typically be taken across the bridge before they take it long routes around, so that, you know, that they were, the path they were avoiding is the reason why they built the bridge. We'll see how all this plays out in the long run. Should be interesting, and it possibly could be nothing,
to say the least. Yeah. And you know, the initial response might be, well, they'll just have to start bringing these ships into other ports. Ladies and gentlemen, other ports are not equipped to handle this hazardous material. Okay, that port was specifically designed for that. So, this is a problem. This is a huge problem. Of course, it happens along that I-95 corridor that really keeps Washington, D.C. and all the major big cities up and along the I-95 corridor in the Northeast fed with everything they need. Fascinating stuff. Obviously, we're going to keep our eyes on it. You will, too. Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. We're going to get up and do it again tomorrow. Hour 2 video should be back tomorrow. For those of you that like to watch the program, apologize for that. Enjoy your day. Stay safe. And we'll see each and every one of you on the radio tomorrow. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
filled your prescription for freedom with Mark Walters, presented by X Insurance. X Insurance on the Armed American Radio Network.